I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, special wines for special days. Our wine diva helps them sort it all out. But first, it's time for a visit with one of our culture coaches. With the holiday season in full swing, the demands on our time can be overwhelming. And then let's add diversity into the mix. Everybody in your office or life may not celebrate the same holiday you do or in the same way. How to make it through without causing hurt feelings or going insane yourself? We decided to check in with our resident etiquette guru and author, Harriet Cole. She's in our New York bureau. Hi, Harriet.
Hi.
Good to talk to you again. What do you find is the number one stressor during the holiday season? What do you hear people complain about most?
Well, it's that I never have enough time to do everything. And at this point in the game, if you aren't prepared for the holidays, which would be most working people, you're like, oh, no. And they're considering what's appropriate. And the interesting thing, Michelle, is you can become so generic and bland in your desire to be appropriate that your gift could be for naught because the person receiving it can say, oh, you know, Michelle just wanted to give me something because she thought she should. That's when the gift backfires. If you're doing something for someone else, you need to think about that someone else. What is that person's life like? What are that person's interests? As you pointed out, if they have different cultural backgrounds, learn something about the person.
You know, oftentimes people work in teams these days, so maybe they're people that you're particularly close to and some people you're not, and yet, you know, feelings emerge. I just wonder, do you think it's the best thing to do is just have a company-wide or office-wide policies on questions like this?
Well, if a company has established a policy regarding gift-giving during the holiday season, it is up to each employee to understand what that is so that you aren't overstepping your bounds at a time when there are lots of sensitivities. That's number one. Number two, if you believe that you have a great relationship with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people who are part of your company and you'd like to do something special for them, but it doesn't include everyone, you need to do that discreetly. And it shouldn't be too expensive so it doesn't send the wrong signal. But it also doesn't create a moment of embarrassment where if there are 10 members of your team and you've only given something to 2 or 3 of them that the other people aren't feeling that they aren't worthy.
So think about everybody's set of feelings. And speaking about everybody's feelings, I want to raise what for a lot of people is a very tricky thing, which is the office holiday party.
Yes.
And I just think this is more complicated than a lot of people sometimes believe it is. Is this a social event? Or is this a work event? Are you there to let your hair down and kind of release the tension of the year? Or are you there to network, put your best foot forward? How do you recommend that people handle it? And I also want to talk about the different ways that holiday parties can take place.
Well, you have to remember where you are and who is with you. The top executives of any business, whether it is a small business or a large business, usually come to the office party for the first half hour or 45 minutes. And your job should be to go in there looking good. Good can be dressed up, but professional. And make sure that you shake hands with each of those people and say something that you mean about the year that has passed and about your intentions for the future. And then you go from there to making sure that you say hello to the administrative people. Pay attention to the entire room. And, you know, if there's dancing involved, make sure that you look out for the people who are often the reclusive ones. You know, even if you are a person who thinks of yourself as a little bit shy, if you put ahead of you, this is business, and my strategy at this event is to create meaningful moments, meaningful bonding moments with the people in the room before I leave, then you're not going to drink too much. You're not going to eat too much. You're not going to be double-handed with a drink and a plate so you can't shake hands with people. You're going to be strategic, and that will work to your advantage.
Speaking of dancing, I think that that's not that easy a question either, because I cannot tell you how many parties I've been to where people complain about the music. And I think that music is code. I think if people interpret musical choices as sending a message about the tenor of a company or what it's about or what you're supposed to do. And I just wonder whether we know that people's musical choices are not always going to be the same. I just wonder, how do you navigate that, particularly if you're in a diverse workplace where people may not have the same taste? And if you play one kind of music, one particular group may feel like, I don't, you know, you're not thinking about me. This isn't for me. And if you play another kind of music, I mean, like hip hop, for example, is a big dividing line for some folks. I just wonder, how do you think you should navigate that if you're the host and if you're the guest?
Well, good. I'm glad you asked about the host, because the host's job is to make an environment comfortable and engaging for everybody who's attending. And that means that a host should pay close attention to the music. And I can tell you right now that I think it happens less often that there is a code involved, that an intentional code anyway, that this music is for this group of people versus that one. Usually, there are some businesses who would say, well, we're really going to have hip-hop. We're really going to have rock. We're really going to have a particular kind of music because this is the majority of our staff. I think that happens less often. I think that there's normally more of a desire to generally please everyone, and people run out of time and pick whoever they can find, who they can afford. Really, Michelle, I think that's what happens. But as a as a guest, I would say, personally, most of the holiday parties I've attended over the years have had substandard music. You know, rarely is it so great, you know, I just can't wait to be on the dance floor all night long. But when something moves you enough where you can feel, okay, I could dance for a few minutes, then be part of the team and get up and dance. What you don't want to do, if you just don't like the music and it's not working for you, don't start complaining. The office party is not the place to have drink number four and complain loudly because that music is not for me. See, I told you these people don't, you know, that blah, blah, blah that happens that creates a level of friction that is only going to look poorly on you, even if it is also reflecting that the host wasn't paying close enough attention.
Be a good sport and get on the committee next year.
Exactly.
On the planning committee if you have such strong feelings about it.
That's such a good point, Michelle, because a lot of times people love to complain rather than to take action. Being on the committee means you're willing to work.
What if you've gone to your holiday party and you've done everything you're supposed to do? Let's say you're going off to, say, visit family members or perhaps friends, and maybe there's a group of folks there who aren't people you're as familiar with, and sometimes there are families that are interreligiously diverse. So how would you recommend that people handle that as they're making their holiday plans?
Well, when people are of different cultural backgrounds and you are in their company, you know, without planning to be in their company, and there you all are, listen and ask questions. Then you can learn from each other. Maybe there is somebody who's from, and by the way, it could be out of town from another town in the U.S., because we have different cultural customs in different parts of the country, as well as different parts of the world, different religious and spiritual backgrounds. And just because you know somebody, for example, who celebrates Kwanzaa and you don't, doesn't mean you know much about Kwanzaa. So you could ask the question. I would say if you are a gift giver, a great thing to do is something, and I've seen a lot of people do this, have a few extra little gifts that they, you know, they could just be stocking stuffer kind of gifts, already wrapped or in gift bags, that you can bring. Maybe some are for kids and some are for adults. And when you come in bearing gifts.
Harriet Cole is a best-selling author and the creative director at Ebony Magazine. You can find out more about her at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. And if you have a tradition or a solution to some common holiday dilemma that you'd like to tell us about, please let us know, npr.org/tellmemore. Harriet, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you.